I was sitting in the office over in the other building, and Tony brought me this little Bible mark, and it just said, Man of God. And he laid this little coin down there, and it said the same thing, Man of God. And he said, I've ordered these for our men for Father's Day. And I said, well, I'm glad that you did, because that's what I want to preach on today. Man of God. And my wife and I were talking this morning. We always, on a Sunday morning, have a little fellowship time when, not always, but most of the time, she studies her Sunday school lesson and I'm going over the message for the day. And I said to her this morning that I showed her that coin and read that little verse on the back of it. And, you know, I've come to realize that Paul said, you know, to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. And when I read that little verse from the book of Isaiah on the back of that coin, God reminded me of where my strength comes from. It doesn't come because I ate the right kind of foods. It doesn't come because I'm a nutritionist, or it doesn't come because of any of those kinds of things, but the Bible says, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Now, I believe it also not only has a spiritual connection to it, but I believe that also has a physical connection to it. I believe you're just a whole lot stronger when you live for the Lord. Amen. And I really believe that, you know, as you give yourself to him and wait upon him, I believe God renews our strength. And then he went on to say, they shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. And I said to her this morning that, you know, in this Christian journey, I don't want to become weary of serving God. I want to get up in the morning with a thrill in my soul. I want to get up with a spring in my step. I want to get up with a renewed vigor in my spirit to walk with God day by day. I don't want my relationship with God to wane away until I have no physical testimony for Christ. I don't want to become weary in serving the Lord. I know one of the things that happens as we grow older, our bodies, as the body's muscle material of our body begins to break down, if we're not careful, we can follow that, and our spiritual man will follow right along with that, and we can get weary of serving the Lord. I don't ever want to get weary of serving God. I believe you can serve God when you're sick. Amen. I believe you can serve God when you're well. Amen. I believe you can serve God when you're young. And I believe you can serve God when you're old. Amen. I don't believe any of those things has anything to do with serving God. I believe serving God is a spiritual matter. And beloved, you and I that are saved by God's grace, our strength in the Lord is to be renewed every day, and we're not to grow weary in serving the Lord. Amen. And, you know, we're to mount up with wings as eagles. You know, to soar above the circumstances of life and just soar with God. And then we're to walk and not faint. When I was younger, I had a fainting spell or two. When you faint, you just black out. I mean, you just lose contact with reality. That's what fainting is. You just sort of black out and you lose consciousness. And I thought about, there's a lot of people I know that have done that spiritually. They fainted on God. And I don't want to do that. And so that's what the back of this little coin reminds me of. And on the front of it, it just simply says, you have one. You maybe haven't taken it out of your package yet, but it just says, man of God. And as I thought about that, and the Holy Spirit began to deal with my heart, then this morning, my dear brother brought me this book. And it's Disciplines of a Godly Man. And it's from that little caption that I read to you a few moments ago. The church needs real men. Men willing to follow the faith of godliness, no matter the cost. And I read this verse of Scripture in the book of Joshua. And it's in Joshua chapter 24, verse number 15. And it says this, "And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." And I thought about, here is a man that is a man of God. Three things about this man that I just want to call your attention to briefly this morning. And I'll save the rest of my message for this evening's service. But I want you to understand in this one verse, there are three things there that I believe it's very easy to see. First of all, here was a converted man. Here was a man that was saved by the marvelous grace of God. I want to say to you this morning, if you are in this building and you're a dad and you've never been saved by God's grace, you'll never know what it is to have conviction in your soul. You'll never know what it is to have courage in your life to serve the Lord. You'll never really know the joy of what it is to be a father until you're saved by the marvelous grace of God. We had several children in my family before ever I was saved, and I hate to think back of those years when my children, some of them were real small, and before I was saved, and how they must have viewed their dad. And yet when they're real young that way, you know, their dad's always the hero in their eyes. But I look back to the day that I was saved by God's grace, and there was such a marked change in my life. It made me a different dad. It made me a different husband. It made me a different citizen of this country. It just made me a different person. God brought me out of that darkness into the light of His glorious self. I became aware and conscious of the fact that God had a purpose for my life in this world. You see, before I was saved, my life was sort of like water poured out on the ground. It just ran every which way. I had no real goals in life, had no real purposes in life. I really didn't know where life was going to, and I didn't know what life was going to hold for me. There was a lot of unanswered things in my life. But the day when I met Jesus Christ and was saved by God's glorious grace, there's something happened on the inside. It's like somebody moved inside of me. Now, I say it's like somebody moved inside of me. I know today what really happened. The Holy Spirit of God came and He took up His abode in my life. He took up His place on the throne of my life. That is the rightful place of God. And as I read about Joshua, when Joshua said, "As for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord," that's saying that Joshua was saved by the grace of God, and the Lord was sitting upon the throne of his heart, and it was God that was making the decisions in his life. I want to tell you, I said to my wife this morning, back there 45 years ago, when the Lord saved me, beloved, I want to tell you, that's where where, that's where this very verse came into my heart. I didn't know it was in the Bible, never heard this verse in the Bible, didn't even know there was such a book as the book of Joshua in the Bible, but the message was in my heart. And from the day that I was saved by God's grace, the Holy Spirit in my heart, beloved, helped me to say, as for me, my wife, and my children, we're going to serve the Lord. I want to tell you, the first Sunday we were saved, my wife and I got our children, went to the house of God. We went to Sunday school on Sunday morning. I want to tell you something, Dad. If you're not going to Sunday school, you're missing out a great deal in your life. You're missing some things that would help you to be a better father to your children by going to Sunday school and sitting under a good godly teacher and listening to the Word of God taught to your heart and pay attention to what the teacher has to say. I remember my first Sunday in Sunday school. I went in and sat down. I couldn't even find my place in the Bible. I didn't know what the books of the Bible were. I didn't know anything except the fact that something happened inside of me. Now I had a desire to want to be in church. Didn't make any difference who was there, who wasn't there, who was wearing what, my friend Hal, who was dressed or whatever. But I sat there in that Sunday school class. I got my Bible open to where the teacher said to turn. And beloved, I started looking at what the teacher was teaching, and it was just like that Bible started speaking to my heart.
Sure. Amen.
And I want to tell you, I sat there in that Sunday school class and I listened to what that teacher had to say. I hung on to every word that teacher had to say. When I went home from church that day, I thought about what the teacher said. I thought about what the preacher preached about. I thought about what the choir sung about. I want to tell you, there were three things happening in my soul. Beloved, God was teaching me from His Word. God was teaching me from His Word in the pulpit, and God was teaching me through song. I went home that day. I can remember what the Sunday school teacher taught, and I just rehearsed that over and over. During the week, I'd call that up, and I'd think about that. I think about what the preacher preached that morning. I just call it up, Brother John, and I just think about what the preacher preached. And then I would think about those songs that they sung in the choir, and I would start humming the tune to those songs. But you know what I found? I found every one of those things was speaking to my heart. I found that those things were growing me. They were strengthening me. They were helping me. And Sunday after Sunday after Sunday, I want to tell you, I liked what was happening. I liked what was going on inside of me. I liked what God was doing in my life. I liked what He was doing when I went to Sunday school. I liked what He was doing when I sat under the preaching. I liked what He was doing when I heard the singing. I just liked what God was doing. I liked it so good that I went back on a Wednesday night and listened to what the preacher had to say on a Wednesday night.
Amen.
I found the same God was in church on Sunday morning was in church on a Wednesday night.
Amen.
Now, I didn't have church religion. I didn't have preacher religion. I didn't have people religion. Fact is, I didn't have any religion at all.
Amen.
Well, you listen to me this morning. When I got saved, I didn't get religion. And hallelujah, religion didn't get me. When I got saved, I got righteousness.
Amen.
It was the righteousness of Jesus Christ. I ain't never been righteous, never will be. But I'm glad He is righteous and He lives within my heart.
Amen.
I find that Joshua was a man that was, he was a converted man. Oh, my friend, a man have to be saved to make the statement he made. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. You know, I want to challenge our fathers here this morning. I want to challenge our dads here today. Why, have you ever made that commitment in your heart? Do you know that you've been saved by God's marvelous grace? Do you know that this morning? I want to tell you, nobody has to convince me that I'm saved. I know the very day that I met Jesus Christ, He did something in my heart that was so different. I've never been able to forget the day that God saved me by His grace. It was for a long, long time, Brother Chuck, that I could not have told you. I could have not given you a biblical definition of what being saved was. It was for a long, long time I could not have told you what God was doing in my life. But I want to tell you, after a while, as I sat in Sunday school, after a while as I sat under the preaching, after a while as I began to read Christian materials, beloved, I began to understand. The Holy Spirit began to teach me about the things of God. One of the things that He taught me was that I was God's child and He was my father. Well, I will tell you, that was a great day in my life when I could look up toward heaven and call God my father. What a blessing and what a joy that was. And I want to tell you that old song, "Every Day with Jesus is Sweeter Than the Day Before," has become more real and more real in my life as I have grown older physically and as I have grown older spiritually. I'm glad that I can still say this morning that every day with Jesus is sweeter than the day before. My wife and I have just spent a week over in the mountains of Tennessee, over at Cage Cove, up out there where they have no bathrooms and have no running water on the sites, and you know, no electricity out there. We were in our motorhome. We had all that stuff in our motorhome. I really don't feel like we were camping, but you know, we were out there in that wilderness anyway. But one of the joys, two things in my life each day of this last week was, number one, being able to fellowship with my wife, just being able to be with her. And then number two, we would get out and walk around through the campground, and I'll talk to anybody. I'll see somebody, some man, woman sitting out by the campfire, sitting out there, and I'll go over and introduce myself, and I'll start talking to them about the Lord. I don't know anything else to talk to them about. I just want to talk to them about the Lord. I want to find out where they come from. They want to know where I'm from. I want to know, are you a Christian? Where do you go to church? What do you do? And this, that, and other. You run into all kinds of people out there. But I thought about what a joy it is. I told my wife, what a joy it is to be saved and represent Christ and just want to talk to people about the Lord. I want to tell you, Joshua was a man like that. Joshua was a man that was saved by the marvelous grace of God. I believe with all my heart he was a converted man. But number two, I believe Joshua was a man of conviction. He said, "As for me and my house, we will." You know, there's a lot of folks say, "Well, now, preacher, I left my family to serve the Lord." Let me tell you something, sir. Why don't you, you know, somebody said this morning, who was it said this morning, I got to put my britches on. It was Tony, called his pants britches. When I put my britches on, it's time that our fathers put the britches back on in the house.
Amen. Amen.
I mean, get you some that's got pockets in them. Amen. I mean, where you can carry this little coin and you can pull it out every now and then and remind yourself, let the Holy Spirit remind you that you're to be a man of God.
Amen.
Joshua said, "As for me," he didn't leave it for his wife. Listen, and I'm not saying this degrading the women in our church. Thank God for good, godly women in our church.
Amen.
But I want to tell you something. If you're a woman that wears the breeches in your house, in your home, you're in the wrong place, ma'am. God never ever meant for you to be in the place of leadership in your home. God never meant for you to be the decision maker in your home. God meant for your husband to be that in your home. And if that's all out of order, your home is out of order. And if your home is out of order, man, you're not being a man of God. You're being a sissy. That's what you're being. It's time the men put their britches back on in the house. And say, "As thank you, ma'am. As far as me and my house," he said, "we will serve the Lord." He was a man of conviction. You know, the day has gone by when men in the church were men of conviction. But wouldn't it be wonderful? And you know, as I read out this little caption in this book, we need real men today. Men of conviction. Men that will take their stand and say, "Listen, God made me the head of this home, and I'm going to lead my family to the house of God. I'm going to lead my family in worship. I'm going to lead my family in prayer. I'm going to lead my family in giving. I'm going to lead my family in missions. I'm going to lead my family to Sunday school. I'm going to lead my family to revival meeting. I'm going to lead my family for God. I'm just going to take my family and lead them for God." Now I want to tell you, when the Holy Spirit is upon the throne of your heart, you don't need a preacher to stand in the pulpit and tell you those things, do you?
Amen.
It's only when we get away from God and our hearts become calloused and we become cold and indifferent and lose our convictions that God sends a man to remind us. That God sends the preacher to remind us that we're to be men of conviction. Beloved, Joshua was such a man. You know, I thought about when the Lord saved me. I'm honest with you folks. I didn't know anything about this Bible when the Lord saved me. I didn't know anything about church, Brother Scott. I didn't know anything about Robert's Rules of Order. I didn't know anything about preaching. I didn't know anything about teaching. I didn't know anything about nothing. I was raw green. I want to tell you, I was the dumbest person you would have ever met. You could have asked me what J-O-B was in the Bible. I would have told you Job. Not Job, but Job. You could ask me what the Psalms were, and I said, them palms. I didn't know anything about the Bible. But I want to tell you this one thing I knew. I was like that old boy in John chapter 9. This one thing I knew. I couldn't tell you who Jesus was. I couldn't tell you who God was. I couldn't tell you who the Holy Spirit is. I couldn't tell you what this Bible is. I couldn't tell you what church is all about. But this one thing I could tell you, I was blind and now I see. Hallelujah. This man called Jesus, I don't know anything much about him, but I was dead and he made me alive. Hallelujah. I'll tell you, I had war going on in my soul, and this man Jesus gave me peace in my mind. This man Jesus set me free from sin. And for the first time in my life, I could say no to drinking. I could say no to gambling. I could say no to the things of this world. And I could lift my eyes toward heaven and I could say yes to God. For the first time in my life, I could say he's my Father in heaven. Hallelujah. Boy, what a Savior that could do such a thing for a man. I'll tell you, I was nothing but a Gentile dog. And God picked me up out of that horrible pit, put my feet on the solid rock, established my going. And all, I want to tell you, beloved, God's paths have led me so many different places. My wife, sometimes we just sit in awe and wonder at what God has done in our lives and how God, by his marvelous grace, had just taken two old country people and God had just blessed us and helped us in more ways than I could ever tell you about. Joshua was a man of conviction. But here's what happened in my house. When the Lord saved me, I said to my wife, I didn't get no argument out of her because God saved her too. And I want to tell you, if you're a saved man in the house got a lost wife, you're in trouble, man. I want to tell you, you're in a world of trouble. Those kind of things ought to be settled before you ever get married. I'll tell you, married men ought to marry saved women. And saved women ought to marry saved men. I know you get hooked up with somebody, you say, well, you know, they'll get saved later. Yeah. No, you'll backslide later is what you'll do. Yeah, you ain't going to bring them up. They're going to bring you down. You say, well, preacher, I don't believe that. Believe what you'll find out when you get married like that. It works that way. I'm here to tell you, I've seen it work that way. Very, very seldom does it ever work the other way. I want to tell you something. If you're going to live for God, young man, you better find the woman God wants you to have and marry her. She may not be Miss America. She may not be the South Carolina beauty queen. She may not have those places on her face like you think she ought to have. But I'll tell you, if she got Jesus in her heart, that's going to make up for all of these other things. You might think you can live off of love for a year or two, but I'll tell you, after about 6 months, that goes out the window, neighbor. And I'll tell you, wake up with somebody that don't care anything about you, going to do what they please, and ain't going to submit to you, and ain't going to submit to God. You're in a world of trouble. But I'll tell you, if they wake up every morning with Jesus in their heart, and the Holy Spirit's guiding them, I'll tell you, life will be happy and full of joy. But I remember what happened to me when I was saved. I'd take my wife and I'd say, honey, let's go to church. Now listen, I hope... We had five children, and she got all five of them ready and herself ready. I didn't have anybody get ready but myself. That tells you what kind of man I was, what kind of wife I had. I'll tell you, I was a sorry man, had a good wife. But after a while, the Lord began to work on me. But I'll tell you, we never, ever missed church. Never. Hello? We would have folks say, well, why don't y'all come over to the house Sunday dinner? We'll be there after church. Well, we'll already be through eating. Well, we won't be there then, not to eat. I mean, there's people today, they're just looking for an excuse to go to grandma's house because they're going to go eat Sunday dinner. Hey, I want to tell you, if you want to be a blessing to grandma, let her know you'll be there after church. Fact is, you ought to invite grandma to come to church with you and say, grandma, I'll go home and help you cook after church. You don't ever do anything for Christ, and you don't have any convictions when you let just anything keep you out of the house of God. Hey, you ought to be in the hospital somewhere. My friend can't go to the house of God to stay out of the house of God. Boy, I can see some of you ain't liking this at all. That's a Father's Day message. But Joshua was a man of conviction. You see, somebody mentioned this in the church this morning. Said, Pastor, until we come to the place that we have some men that has convictions again, we're not going to see revival in America. You know, we just came through a series of revival meetings. That's what we had, a series of revival meetings. We didn't have revival. We had a few folk that got some things right, and praise God for that. But I want to tell you, if this church ever has revival, everybody in the church will be affected by it. I'm telling you, everybody will be affected by it. The men will be affected, the women will be affected, and I will say all of us will get infected with it. Our children will get, they'll even get caught up with it. When revival comes in the church, and I want to tell you, men, we'll never have revival until we have some men that have conviction in their soul, that be like Joshua said, listen, God, I will be in church on Sunday morning. I will be there for Sunday school. I will be there Sunday night. God, I will be there Wednesday night. I will be there for the revival meeting. Now, I know there are those sitting in the church this morning saying, well, preacher, I don't think you have to have all of that to go to heaven. I'm not telling you have to have all that to go to heaven, but I'm going to tell you, if you don't have convictions in your soul, my dear friend, there's a lot you're going to miss on the journey getting to heaven, and there's a lot you're going to miss when you get to heaven, because you're going to give an account to God as to why you didn't do what He wanted you to do while you were here on this earth. Joshua was a man of conviction, and then he was a man of courage. I want to tell you something. You're going to rile the devil up when you come to the place that you'll take this stand as for me and my house. We will serve the Lord. Ain't no wonder some of these women run over some of these men. They know they can.
That's right.
And they're going to.
That's right.
Because you let them.
That's right.
They would love for you to take that stand and be courageous enough to say, listen, we're going to serve God in this house. I want to ask you something. What's wrong with that?
Yes.
Come on, men. What's wrong with you taking your stand with God and saying to your wife and your children, we're going to serve God in this house?
Amen.
The greatest thing you'll ever be able to do for your wife, greatest thing you'll ever be able to do for your home, your children, greatest thing you'll ever be able to do for your community, your church, and your country is take a stand and become a man of God.
Amen.
A man of God. Joshua was such a man. He said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Now, if you'll go back and read the preceding chapters and verses, I'll tell you, God was constantly delivering the children of Israel from the hand of their enemy. I read over there where God said, everything that I said to you I would do, I have done. God said, all the goodness that I have promised you, God said, of all of those things that I, all of that good that I had promised I would do to you, God said, I have done every bit. I have not left anything undone. God said, I've done everything I said I would do. I've blessed you in every way I said I would bless you. That's what He said, Brother Scott. But He said, if you ain't going to do what I've asked you to do, here's what I'm going to do. Everything that I've said evil against you that I'll do, He said, I'm going to do it.
Amen.
Now let me tell you something, church. I want to be in His hand.
Amen.
Not under His hand. Pushing me down. I want to be under His blessings. And not under His curse. You say, preacher, would God do that to His children? You better believe He will. Now, you may let yours get by with a lot of stuff, and God lets us get by with a lot of stuff. But there's some things God ain't going to let us get by with. God said, if you're saved, now if you're bastards and not sons, you can do what you want to and God ain't going to bother you. You just go and do what you want to. If you're a bastard, not a son, you can just do what you want to and God ain't going to bother you. But if you're a child of God, I want to tell you, God says, if you refuse to go with me and do my will, God said, my hand's going to be against you. And I want to tell you something. You don't want God's hand against you. No. You don't want God's hand against you. I want God's hand to be on me, blessing me and helping me. And old Joshua, when all that happened, old Joshua said, listen, I believe he may have just got down on his knees, looked up toward heaven and said, he may have raised both hands and said, God, it's for me and my house. We're going to serve the Lord. I believe he might have been before the whole nation of Israel and said, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. You do what you want to do, but it's for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Amen. While we stand together, our heads bowed and our eyes closed before the Lord this morning. Man of God, man of God, I don't know anybody's heart, and this is not a challenge to anybody's heart about sin. If you got sin in your heart, you need to get that right with God. You can't be a man of God with sin in your heart. You might be saved, but you can't be a man of God. When you're a man of God, it means that you're walking uprightly with the Lord. I wonder this morning, I'm talking to our men right now. I wonder how many of you men would accept this challenge this morning. There ain't none of us perfect. And we all falter and we fail. But God knows every man in this building that'll serve Him. He's known it from the day you were born, whether you'd serve Him or not. And I'll tell you, I wonder how many of you men would join me right here in this altar, right here with me, and say, church, you can count on me to be a man of God. Church, you can count on me to be a man of God. Man, what a sight. What a sight. You're visiting with us, you can come. If you want to be a man of God, you come. I don't come down here and say, I'm going to be a man of God and then go away from here disobeying God. You're being a hypocrite if you do that. God will judge you for that. God's challenge to us this morning is to be a man of God. And that's what I desire to be, a man of God. And I hope that's what you're saying by coming to this altar. I want the rest of the church to look around this altar this morning. These are men that are saying, I want to be a man of God. You may be a man already, but I want to continue to be a man of God. Father, I just want to thank you and praise you and give you glory and honor and praise this morning for Joshua. And our Father, I thank you for his challenge to Israel and his challenge to his family. His challenge to sin and Satan and the world. Thank God it's for me and my house. We will serve the Lord. Thank you, Father, that only a saved man can do that. Only a man with great conviction can do that. And only a man with courage dare to do that. And God, I pray that you will help us to be men of conviction. God, help us to be men of courage. God, help us this morning, Father, to not ever forget where we were when you came to us. And God, not ever forget where we want to get to. Father, help us to know that being the will of God is the most important thing that could ever happen in our life. God, I pray for these men that have gathered here this morning. I ask you, Lord, God, that you will help them, strengthen them. Lord, I pray that you will be a shield and a guide for them. Oh, God, Lord, you know our hearts this morning. God, you know those men that are here today that will serve you and want to be a man of God. And Lord, I pray that you will help us when we falter. I pray you'll help us when we fail, Lord. God, I pray you'll help us when we misstep. And God, help us to always remember that we can get back to where we need to be if we'll just confess our sin and walk with God. Lord, bless. Have your will in your way. Accomplish your desired will in our lives today. That you do, we'll praise you in Jesus' name. And for his sake we ask. Amen. Amen. Amen, men. You men shake hands with each other before you go out of this altar this morning. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen, young man.
Amen, Scott. Bless your heart. Amen. I'm so glad you'd hear your dad this morning.
Yes, sir.
Bless you, sir. Yes, sir. God bless you. Amen. Brother Thomas.
Amen.
Bless you. Amen. Brother John, I'm so glad you got to be with your son, your grandson this morning. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Amen, buddy. Good.
Amen.
Bless you, Mark.
Amen. Amen.
Love you.
Thank you. Justin, love you, buddy. Love you, John.
Love you.
Amen,
John.
A good service. Amen. Alice.
Good service. Good service.
Amen.
A great
amen. Sure is.
Amen.
I like that a lot.
Amen.
Yeah,
I'll too. Be like Tony. I'm going to keep that in my pocket. I'm
going
to take this to work.
Yes, sir. That's a good witnessing, too.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
I like that a lot.
Hallelujah.
I've already got mine in my pocket. I'm looking.
Yeah, I got it.
I ain't got mine out yet.
I got mine out of my pocket.
I'm going to get it.
God bless. Amen.
Amen, Chuck.
Love you, God.
God bless you.
Amen.
Amen. Thank God for you.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
I love you, sweetie. Love you. Oh, thank you, sweetie. Thank you.
God bless you.
Love you, baby.
Bless you, Bonnie.
Bless you.
Missed you. Yeah. Eddie.
Father Day.
Thank you, Father. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Bless you, Anna.
Thank you for the message.
Bless you. Bless you.
I'm going to have, man.
Yeah,
pray for them little boys.
Amen. Amen. That's probably some little virus going around has got them.
No, I'm talking about them little boys up in jail.
Oh, okay. I thought you were talking about them little grandbabies. Yeah. Amen.
Amen, brother.
Amen.
Amen. I love you, buddy.
Bless you. Amen. Got warm out here tonight.
Yeah.
I think it's about there now. Better keep them fish out of sunshine, they'll spoil.
Well, you're proud of that.
But I would be too.
Biggest fish I ever caught.
Yeah. I got a bunch of pictures somewhere of fish I've caught over the years, you know. Ain't got none lately.
Bye.
Buy a big old 4x8 sheets of plywood, big old crappie on them, and bigger than your hand.